to the races.
Which we went to, actually.
Yeah, ever since we went to the track, I've been... And they're off to the races.
We went to see some horses. We were lured there by Chili.
Yes, we didn't know there was horses at this Chili cook-off.
did any horses get killed?
Sadly, no.
Last year's losers are in the Chili.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like, so none were killed live.
Yeah.
Just so, kidding. Sadly,
that's
no.
So sad, though. Absolutely not. That's not the case.
They were kept around the whole year for the Chili. But then,
you never know.
I really hope not.
You know what's
actually.
The... Okay, so basically what happened is we went to the Santa Ana Chili cook-off. But I think the saddest part... Santa Anita, right, not Santa Ana. It's a completely different city. With the Santa Anita Chili cook-off. But the saddest part to me, other than, you know, we're making horses race, is that it's a Chili cook-off, and we were voting, but we don't know who won.
Is it still not posted?
I can't find any evidence of who won this cook-off.
I think this could be a pyramid scheme, dude.
Yeah, this might have turned out to just be a racket.
I mean, it was a delicious pyramid scheme. We tried all sorts of different chili.
Yeah, it was
good. But at what cost, Marvin? At what cost, dude?
It's $25, I think.
Yeah, but the people at the bottom, they played $35, and they had to bring in. See, you had to bring in two people.
Well, we also got a $5 betting voucher, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yes,
but the
goal is
money.
To get you over there to bet as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and no one was really.
Sarah was the only winner.
I won. Yeah. I won on what was her name? The horse.
Kino? Kino?
It's like Pink Lady or something.
No. It was Snow Princess or something like Snow.
Yeah, something
along
like
those lines.
Yeah, that sounds
something
right.
Something with snow.
Yeah,
but you didn't believe. Princess. But you didn't
President,
believe in
President Snow.
You didn't believe in the horse winning first, so
yeah.
Sarah, you don't believe in horses?
No,
I do believe in horses.
Oh,
I believe in unicorns as well. Just kidding.
Nah. Oof.
Yeah, horse racing was really interesting. I was surprised how skinny the horses are. They're like skeletal.
Yeah, they gotta be. Yeah,
well, that's why they die.
I think you were just completely like primed wrong by looking at. You know,
Clydesdale.
Yeah, the Clydesdales first. Clydesdales are supposed to be the big guys.
Every time people think of a horse, they think of a Clydesdale because of like Budweiser commercials and stuff like that.
So like, Black Beauty, dude.
Yeah.
Well, but even Black Beauty is like a pretty buff horse compared to racetrack horses.
Well, dude, the racetrack horses are skinny though. Like they need to be thin.
Yeah, they're intentionally like
that's not normal. You know what I mean? Like we can't bred normalize for speed, that. Dude. We can't normalize skinny horses.
They make them fuck fast, dude.
What?
Normalize regular size.
I've known horse races to be all my life.
Well, I'm shattering your
They've
world.
They've been normalized
right now.
For a long time.
To be really thin, I don't think a horse should be under 1,000 pounds. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Hear me out.
Horse racing whole pushes unrealistic beauty standards for horses.
Yeah. Hear me out, dude. Hear me out. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
For the Super Bowl next year,
mm-hmm.
They say we got a wild card, dude. Right, and they have two wheels, and during halftime they spin one. Oh, sorry, in the beginning of the game they spin one, and it has numbers 1 through 10. So they spin it, and it's like 3. It lands on 3. Let's just say that, right?
Okay.
And then during halftime they spin another one, and it's got a bunch of animals on it.
Mm.
That's how many animals are released.
Could be a horse.
The Super Bowl.
Could be a fucking monkey, dude. And then like during the third quarter, like they're like, this game's fucking.
You pitched this already.
Wait,
yeah,
what
but
happens?
I switched it. I don't understand
what happens. Does the horse or monkey pick the winner?
See, Sarah doesn't remember this.
They just release them.
Imagine they're playing football and there's a wild horse on the field, dude.
That would be crazy.
What happened to your monkey with a gun idea?
Well, that's for soccer.
Oh, I thought it was like an applicable to any sport.
No,
like
no.
NASCAR.
One of the pictures is monkey with gun.
NASCAR is kind of sad, dude, because they get run over. You know what I mean? For NASCAR, hear me out.
Monkey was like driving its own car.
Well, that's actually cool.
It's monkey with gun on the track. So the drivers have to avoid that monkey because the monkey will shoot them.
No. They can run over.
If you hit the monkey, it's an instant loss and banning from NASCAR.
Oh, the monkey is also strapped with a suicide vest that explodes the moment it dies.
No, dude, no. This monkey is strapped with lawsuits. You run him over and you just lawsuit.
The monkey has an excellent legal team.
Yeah.
So the moment you run over the monkey.
Damn it, guys. We just lost our PETA sponsorship.
Yeah. No, for NASCAR, it's rhinos,
PETA would be down for this.
We let out rhinos.
PETA would do this as some sort of weird political message.
What if animals had guns? Did you think about that?
Yeah, you think about that. You think about if animals were race car drivers.
Every time I think of PETA, I think of PETA bread.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm like, I'm hungry. I want some
hummus. I do like the idea of adding a spicy kind of alternative to the Super Bowl by like releasing a bunch of.
Oh, I thought you meant it sexual. Like, how about they're naked? How about dicks out?
That might be. I mean, that's how the original Greeks did the Olympics. They were all naked. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
oil these guys up. You know?
Or like, what if they released a bunch of like crickets or like,
oh my god,
like swarms of insects.
Yeah, and then you have to play through that.
There's like a plague of locusts is unleashed upon the stadium.
And now for our final, what is it, quarter football
and in some biblical plague stage hazards.
release the crickets.
In some years, it's worse. The thing about
crickets is that they're annoying, but dude. You're not thinking about them. You're just playing the game. But think about
how could you not think about them?
Dude.
They're all over the fucking place.
Think about the monkey with a gun, dude. Think about the monkey with a gun, dude.
That's true. A monkey
with a gun. Yeah, but imagine how thematically appropriate to release crickets into a game of cricket.
That's interesting.
Also, like, there are some years where it's worse because they're playing in an enclosed stadium.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, way worse.
But see, the wheel with the animals, it could be 10 cobras that they release.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know? I like the cobra idea.
Yeah.
I condone pun-based animal releases where it's, like, in baseball, they release a bunch of bats.
They have to release their mascots.
Or that too,
you know.
Anything.
So, so for the Rockies, they just work. Drop a bunch of. By the way, welcome to the new Star Trek.
I don't know how we got here.
In college,
just cut this.
In college, no,
shut up,
Tim, cut this out,
Ricardo.
Cut this out.
In college, our friend Nate, participated in March Madness. And he chose everything based solely on which mascot he thought would win in a fight. And he won, but he didn't put any money down. So if he put money down, he would have won based on what mascot he thought would win in the bracket.
Hmm.
What about the ones that don't have animal? Like the ones that have like racist.
racist?
Well,
racist,
you'd see how those fare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how would a redskin fare against an eagle?
Exactly. Like, you know, like a.
Well, yeah. You take how powerful would that racist stereotype be in a fight?
Or you think
probably
about it
not
like,
very.
You think about it conceptually, too. It's like, okay, Clippers versus Lakers, right? Clippers are ships. It's a ship that rides on a body of water. So it's already won over the lake in many ways.
Well, unless the lake is tumultuous enough to down the ship.
It's a turbulent lake. If it's a turbulent lake,
exactly. Marvin, Mother Nature always wins. That lake can take down that ship.
But is it a calm lake?
You've never seen Geostorm, Sarah. You're wrong.
But then is that the lake doing it, or is it the lake with weather's assistance?
I know. That's true.
Is it the lake's own power? Does it require?
They're not called the weathers. They're called the Lakers. So.
The weather underground. Tim, delete all this, dude. Guys, here's the thing about this. I want to say something like right off the bat.
Okay.
For the new listeners, we haven't said this in a while, and we started a new season, and I forgot to say it in the first episode of the season. If you're a new listener, we're newbies, especially myself and Sarah. I've never seen anything. Look, I watched
the movies,
the J.J. Abrams stuff,
and some of the movies. You saw some of the movies,
but. Some of the movies I watched when I was really young.
Yeah, yeah.
And the J.J. Abrams shit, I was probably really high.
I think the movie you remember the most is Wrath of Khan, based on what you've told me.
Yes, you didn't say this at the beginning of the season.
No, this season. He hasn't said that.
All right.
I haven't seen anything. I'm worse off than Ricardo. I haven't seen movies either.
So when we're judging some of the stuff, especially, I wanted to bring up in this episode because Scotty doesn't mean shit to me, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this guy, like he's just annoying fucking Scotsman.
That is important
dude.
To note.
That is the main issue if you are not a TOS fan with this episode. This is an episode that.
Every time I say TOS, I think of cough. Because TOS in Spanish, I mean, it's you call it tos.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so every time you say TOS, I go.
Star Trek the cough generation.
Yeah.
But interesting. Unlike Sarek and unlike Unification.
Sarek.
Those episodes weren't entirely about sentimentality. They were episodes that merely had these characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This episode is entirely about being sentimental about the original series.
But like, how would we know that for sure? Other than we know that he was old and on a past ship, but like new viewers don't, you're not going to get
Sarah, you should have looked at his shoes. You would have known that. His Beetle boots.
Well, if you looked at his outfit, you would have thought he's from Star Wars because he's dressed like Han Solo.
It's just like, if you didn't tell me that this guy was from TOS, I had no idea.
Well, it's just one of those things where this is season 6 of Star Trek TNG. So like they're assuming that anyone watching at this point knows enough about Star Trek to know at least who Scotty is.
Sarah, they didn't travel.
Don't assume.
Here's the thing, is that they didn't assume that two fucking jerk-offs from the future were going to watch the show without ever seeing it.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think that, like, that quote-unquote flaw of the writing of this episode is necessarily the episode's fault.
I'm not saying it's a flaw. I'm saying it's a problem for our own personal viewing experience.
Yeah, like, it only explains why we didn't enjoy it as much as another fan might.
I think that's debatable. I think that's debatable.
What do you mean?
Because, like, do you have to inherently enjoy something because a character from a different series that you liked is in it? Like, do people even like this character in that show?
Yeah, Scotty was popular.
Yeah.
Did he act like this? Because it's kind of like, I don't know, the sake of liking an episode because of nostalgia is like kind of...
Let me make a comparison that I think works for us. It's like, if you watch Better Call Saul but haven't seen Breaking Bad, then when Tuco shows up, you don't go, oh my God, it's Tuco. You go, who's that guy? That's the feeling we're having.
But I don't like something, I guess it's just personal. I'm not like, I don't like something just pure off of nostalgia. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen Star Wars. I don't.
Oh my God. You get a lot of hate mail. Dude.
But I also don't think I think there's a difference between sentimentality and nostalgia. I don't think this is a nostalgia episode.
Or like sentimentality, like that too. Like I don't feel that connection often.
Wait. Are you, it says the person who likes the fucking Sesame Street and the Muppets, dude. Get the fuck out of here, dude.
No, but I mean, like, just because he was in that show doesn't mean that's like.
By your argument, Sarah, that means every episode needs to be fully self-enclosed, but that's not true. You have a certain feeling.
No. Self-enclosed as in that the quality of the writing and the structure of it.
Well, we're not talking. That's not what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. So you think I'm talking about something else? I'm saying that the episode needs to stand on its own legs without it being this guy was from TOS, and I don't think that this episode does. It's full of holes and
no. I don't think it's necessarily high quality, but what I do think is that it's not nothing that he's Scotty. Like that has some extra context
for
to it.
For any fan, just the fact that you are seeing James Doohan on screen again embodying that character is like that enough is a pop off. Like that's
so
something.
It's enough to take you to like a 5 starting point instead of a 0.
I'm not saying I'm one of those fans. I'm just saying that if you're someone who knew who Scotty was, that recognition of, you know, but that is Scotty does count for something.
Yeah, maybe to some.
And it's not ignorable. I mean, it's the same as like.
So I just wanted to bring that up by saying like, hey, so okay, when brought it up like 10 minutes ago, I brought it up because of the fact that like, don't shit on us because we don't know who the fuck Scotty is. That's all I meant. But it doesn't really affect the episode really if you don't know who Scotty. I mean, I don't know who Scotty is, but it didn't affect the episode that like I was annoyed about an old annoying people that don't shut up as opposed to, you know what I mean?
Same.
The fact that like I forget that he could have named him Tim for all I give a shit. Like, right. It's still the same for me. Like, it's still like, oh yeah, I relate to that. I fucking hate. Sometimes you have to get the right type of I'll put this so it relates to me. When I was like in high school to like about my late 20s, I would sit and talk to any old people because.
What?
Because, oh my God.
Yeah. Like I would go to my friend's house and their grandpa would just start talking. I'm like, I'm fucking in. I'm fucking sit down. And like she knew like the one of my friend's grandmothers.
Oh, I thought you said movies. I wouldn't talk to
anyone. I would.
You wouldn't talk to old people?
I would.
I think we all misheard that.
Sorry.
I
was mumbling. So in my youth, I would definitely sit down and talk to any old person. But now that I'm older and I'm like very impatient, I'm more impatient than I was when I was younger. Like now I'm like, there's no time. There's no time for this, dude. like there's sometimes like you're waiting in line at the checkout stand and like an older person will like try to chat you up and I'm like, not today, you know? But before, I wouldn't mind it. And I could relate to this episode that way. And it didn't fucking matter that this guy was named Tim or Scotty or whatever. But for me, like, I'm just bringing it up because it's like, hey, don't shit on us if we don't know who Scotty is if you're a new listener, because we're newbies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that had me thinking, actually, because I was talking to someone about this the other day.
An older person?
It wasn't an older person, but basically, like, you're a parent, and, like, parents usually have to talk to other people's grandparents or so other parents and, like, small talk. Like, is that something that, like, you enjoy doing or you feel like you have to do? Like, I don't know. What's your perspective? Like, you know, you run into other parents, you know, like, and grandparents of those children that your child is interacting with.
Oh,
like,
to be honest, you don't have to talk to them.
So you just don't talk. You just don't talk to them. You're like, nope.
I mean, you have, the thing is, like, if you're choosing to do things, you have to.
You know,
to
talk, like, if you're at, like, people? a soccer game, or, like, you know, like a thing that your kid is at some.
I had a kid in Little League, and I don't know anybody who was in that league, and I never talked to them. Really,
you never talked to them. Okay,
no,
that's fine.
You. It's a free country still.
I mean, from my perspective, it's never been like,
yeah,
I don't talk to a people of a certain age. It's more of like, it doesn't really matter what your age is if you're just not annoying. Because, like, you get annoying people across all different generations. There's definitely tons of older people I'm like, I don't really want to talk to you, but because you're annoying, not because you're old.
Yes. You know what? Yes. I'm gonna fix that. I'm gonna fix my statement. Is like, because sometimes you'll find somebody that, like, is trying to talk to you because of something they hate, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I hate that.
I don't.
What else do you hate? You know what I mean? And then you're right. It's, they're annoying if it's not something in, like, in your wheelhouse, or you're like, yeah. If it's something in, like, anger wise, I'm like, I'm in. I'm hooked, dude. What else do you hate?
Like for me, it's like Scotty is the annoying person I would, like, not talk to. When you just, like, out of nowhere just started talking about a completely unrelated story, I was like, okay, well, we gotta go. I mean, we're doing other things. I mean, like, I, that's one of the things that is annoying, is that I guess he's older, but he was never written that way. He's not just some weird asshole who just talks about.
Yeah, that was my questioning the entire, like, episode. It's like, was he always this annoying? Like, I don't remember this character being this annoying in other times I've seen him act as this character.
No. Even in the movies, he's not. Like,
the movies were my only comparison point.
Of him coming, showing up in the future, I guess, but all of a sudden, that's my question too, is, like, all of a sudden that makes him annoying? Like,
well, another odd thing is that he's been frozen for 75 years, so he hasn't experienced that long a time to become an old, like, you know, he was already at retirement age, like, granted, like, when he got frozen in time, basically, or frozen in stasis,
right?
That buffer.
Okay, so he did get frozen, like, his body got frozen as well? Or did he age in the thing?
No, he's frozen. Remember, we saw at the beginning at Encounter at Farpoint, Bones is like a zombie. Like, he's fucking old.
Yeah, Bones is super
James
old.
James Doohan is, in their version of the universe, like, around 70, I think, which looks like this. Looks like someone who isn't that old, you know? So, I think he's, like he would physically, out of all of the other surviving members of the original crew, be the youngest looking.
Mm.
So, because TOS, original series, was like 100 years ago. So, it's like a century of separation. It's not even in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, we're getting a little into the discussion already, but I do find it kind of odd how he was already, like, at retirement age and on his way to his retirement when he got frozen, basically.
Yes.
But then when he comes back, he's like, I'm not useful anymore. It's like, you were already done.
Yeah, I thought you've already contended with all of this.
that's what I was wondering. So he's basically on his way to Florida.
Yeah,
And, like, he's basically, like, they're like, he got frozen in time. And then he gets out and he's like, well, I'm not useful. It's like, well, you're on your way to Florida, dude. There's nothing to do over there but eat chicken, tropical chicken, you know?
Yeah. Boy, tropical chicken on the grill.
Boom. Yeah, the cue right there.
Yeah.
That's the jingle that would play when he enters. That's it. That's
yeah.
That's,
yeah, yeah. That's the theme of Florida.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, we should probably do what we housekeeping, and then we can get into it because there's a lot to say.
So just to quickly point out, remember I said last episode was quickly written. It's because they were actually going to shoot this episode for last episode. But James Doohan wasn't ready.
This seems like this was written the day of the shoot.
No. Relics was a fully thought out.
Oh, no. Like, no, you're lying.
It was script of Ronald Moore. Nah, like, he was a huge original series fan.
He lied to
us. It's why the episode is so sentimental.
But it's full of plot holes. It's full of plot
You missed some very big things this time.
He did.
He fucked up, man. He lied. Oh, man. He really wrote this. He's trying to pass this off as I've been working on this. He wrote this the night before. There's no way.
We're only human.
It's very badly written.
It was even originally a Brandon Braga script, and then he was like, "Hey, I'm not an original series fan. Maybe you should write it, Ronald." And he was like, "Oh boy." And then, like, he dove into it and did all that.
I would have read it and been like, you can do better.
Braga's like, I don't even like Star Trek. I like Star Wars.
And the funny part is they were considering who to bring back. They couldn't bring back Bones. They already brought him back before, so that wouldn't work.
What do you mean? Just bring him back again.
So are you trying to say that when they wrote the script, they didn't know who they were going to bring back?
So they were originally discussing the trick of the teleporter or the transporter buffer thing. So that was like originally supposed to be a catalyst for something. And then Michael Piller apparently chimed in and was like, oh, that would be a really cool way to bring back an original series character. And all the writers were like, oh, who should we bring back? Well, we already brought back Bones as the age he would be now. So he doesn't work. Spock is already off in Unification, which they kept referring to as James Bond shit. So that's what he's doing over there. They didn't want to bring back Kirk because they thought that would be like too magnanimous a character. Like, and also it's, you know, fucking, what's his name? William Shatner. He's notoriously difficult to work with. So that's probably also another reason. And then Uhura, Sulu, and Chekhov, they all considered two minor characters, like not interesting enough characters. So they ended up bringing back Scotty. So there is a scene that was cut from the episode. And you know, at the end, Sarah was pointing this out. She was like, where the fuck is Deanna Troi this whole episode? And then she shows up randomly at the end and she kisses
What's the deal with
that? Was weird.
That was my biggest complaint about this episode, which is
the biggest one.
Yeah, which is like they know this dude for like fucking 3 days, dude, or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And then like they're on kissing terms, dude.
Yeah, it's because they had a scene together. So originally,
Marvin, I don't care if they had 100 scenes together, dude. Do you understand?
Well, so they had a scene together where
Marvin, I've known my sister-in-law for fucking 18 years, dude. I've never kissed her, like, Merry
never
Christmas.
Kissed her? Oh.
That's like a European kiss. They did like a European kiss.
I'm in a kissy family, so.
That's a beta kiss.
I mean, that you're describing Mexicans, but like, I'm just not
Ricardo, you also don't smile in pictures. You're not the average person.
Yeah, like, you're not the best metric for this.
Yeah, it's true.
No besos for you.
I've done the whole, like, almost, like, kissy greetings to clients and stuff. Like
what's wrong
Europe,
with you, Sarah?
In Europe, they do that all the time.
It's just common. And hugs, like hugs and kisses for clients if they're okay with it.
But back to the Deanna thing. The main thing was that they had it. So Geordi was like, "Oh, I don't know how to fucking deal with Scotty. Deanna, can you talk to her?"
Shit.
And then Deanna was supposed to visit him. And then he was, you know, there was supposed to be the obvious scene where he's like, oh, I'm entranced with you because you're super hot. And then he was supposed to be-
By the way, Scotty's a fucking piece of shit, dude. Like the first thing he brings up, he's like, oh, you guys are letting hot chicks, huh? Let me doctors over here. It's like, dude, fucking not great. The role, dude.
Also, he's racist towards Worf.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, he's like, he is
still operating on 75-year-old prejudices. Like, I know. He's still.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you would have hoped by the end, he'd be like, you know what? You're all right. He'll do that fucking ending, but he still hates him.
No, he's still just ice shoulders him at the very end. He just walks past him.
My whole thing is you can't show up in the future, be upset that nobody's letting you do anything, but then also maintain this like very old school way of thinking. It's like, you got to like roll with us if you're going
to
like.
Well, so that was what's supposed to be Deanne was supposed to help him do. But then he was like, ew, therapist. I don't want to do therapy. Oh, so that was that scene.
There we go.
But then in the middle of that, she was supposed to say, do you want to know what happened to your old crewmates? That's where it was brought up in that scene. And then he replies by saying, no, I don't think I can handle that right now. So that's how they were supposed to lampshade not talking about them. So.
Even that would have been frustrating.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's so crazy is like people will bring up like, they'll be like, when somebody's racist and old, they're like, well, they were raised in a different era. And it's like, yeah, go back a couple more years. We used to fucking burn women that had abstract thought because they were witches. but just because people are a little older, we don't go, he still burns women. He's raised in a different time. We're just like, hey, we don't fucking do that. We just stop it. And it's like, there's no excuse for that shit. Like, it's like, we're not stoning people.
I also feel like it was wrong back then. It's still wrong now. So it's like, okay, so you were just horrible back then too. Okay, awesome. So it's not an excuse. Like, nobody should ever use that as an actual excuse for racism.
Unless it's funny, and then it's okay.
Well, anyway, we should go around the sun. It's been a hot minute before. But October 12th is when this episode first aired in 1992. Dan, let's go around the sun.
Don't worry, it's going to be quick. I only got three little things. Oh. October 8th, the original Mortal Kombat released in arcades in cabinet form. Actually, there's a chance I might have it wrong and it came out earlier in August, but depending on what source you're looking at. But anyway, it is out now. So only a year and a half after Street Fighter 2. So turnaround for game dev was really fast.
Oh, even the fact because it was still
thought it'd be 2023-24 and we'd still be pumping out fucking Mortal Kombat games.
Oh yeah,
and Street movies. Fighters.
Yeah, that's true.
And Street, all
it's
these
all here.
Still. Yeah, all the fighting game franchises are still there. You know, the big ones are still going. So
yeah.
Who'd imagine that the Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter is still the best Street Fighter movie?
Actually, true.
Well, Raul Julia, like, if you extract him alone, like, just that piece of him, he's pretty good.
He's just a charming motherfucker.
My favorite line is like, to you, that day changed your life forever. For me, it was a Wednesday.
It was Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I love that line.
Yes. Moving on the 9th of October, Reservoir Dogs released. However, hell the bigger hit that overshadowed it was Under Siege, starring Steven Seagal. And it was going to stay the top dog at the box office for the next few weeks.
Ricardo, Under Siege or Reservoir Dogs, go.
Reservoir Dogs, it's funny, I just rewatched it a couple of months ago. And it's great because it's like a play. Like
it is like a play.
It holds up. Like because it's just like a one location basically and it holds up. It's like a David Mamet fucking play. But Under Siege, there's so many things going on, dude. Tommy Lee Jones just going crazy, dude. Doing like a Mick Jagger thing and like also like that is peak. A lot of people say Mark for Death is peak Steven Seagal, but this is like him at his best. You got not Jake Busey. What's his name?
Gary.
Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Like hitting on all. Everybody's just top notch in this fucking movie.
For me, it's really easy. It's Under Siege right away. I don't even think about it.
Well, you hate Tarantino.
I don't hate Tarantino. I just think he's incredibly overrated. That's all.
But you also hate Steven Seagal.
I know, but the movie is way more fun. And I think, and I also think Reservoir Dogs is actually not a great movie. I think I much prefer Pulp Fiction. I think Pulp Fiction holds up really well. I don't think Reservoir Dogs holds up really well, especially with that opening scene in the cafe. I don't think it holds up very well. And I think a lot of the dialogue's kind of cringy these days. But that's just me. You know,
it was a different time, dude. There were racists back then, dude.
No racism back
then. That's kind of what's happening all the time. All the time. Finally, also on the 9th of October, it's random but kind of cool and kind of spacey, a 13-kilogram meteorite landed in a driveway in New York, destroying a family's Chevy Malibu.
Holy shit.
I just saw it in the headlines. That was pretty cool.
It didn't make a bigger crater than that? It just...
I don't know. I guess if it hit the car primarily, it didn't do much more, you know? Like, the car will absorb more damage than the ground at that point.
The crumple zones work.
Yeah.
The crumple zones prevented...
Thank God it landed in that smoking crater.
you think Chevy like was like, hey, we'll give you a new Whitney Malibu if you guys give us this Meteor.
Give us the Meteor.
Give us the Meteor. Well, the car with the Meteor hit. That's kind of a cool thing to like,
wait, showcase. Did Chevrolet make the Astro?
Yeah. Chevy. Yes.
They should have like incorporated into their like the marketing.
Oh, they should have.
Astro van.
An asteroid now, hit the Astro.
Now I'm thinking if
anything
it was,
space
if
it related, was Ford. Just use it. Leverage it. I hope they did.
Yeah. Well,
someone let us know if they did. And that's well, that concludes our ride around the sun.
Thank you, sir. But you know what we will leverage? Our sponsors. Because you know what? They've been cool to us. Like ExpressVPN, they've been cool to us. You know what? You know what? You know what?
No matter what Ricardo says.
You know what? ExpressVPN is, you do your own research if you don't believe us, but they are one of the best VPNs out there. If, in my opinion, I consider it the best. There's a reason I've personally been using it since before the podcast even started.
So this is the year under siege of VPNs.
This is the Pulp Fiction.
Of VPNs. Oh, you like Pulp Fiction, huh?
I do like Pulp Fiction, actually. Yeah. I would consider it an extremely good VPN. It's only getting better all the time. They're expanding servers all the time, expanding countries, expanding streaming support, making it faster and faster, adding more devices you can use on it every time. And it's got an ad blocker built in, like password manager built in. Like the ad blocker in particular, I've noticed is so good that like, you know how in Google results, it shows you bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
It starts blocking that now. So I get actual results. It's actually kind of nice.
All right, you know what? I'm going to need to talk to you later about how that works exactly, because I need to like understand more about how it's working for me.
It's just on. And if you go on to connect to your VPN and you have it selected to turn on the background, it'll just activate. It'll just do it. So you don't have to think about it. It's
under preferences.
Yeah, it's under the preferences. And
cool.
If you want to try out ExpressVPN, just head on over to expressvpn.com/newbiestartrek. And if you sign up for 12 months, they'll give you 3 months for free. That makes the whole deal 49% off. And you know what? I know it's not the cheapest VPN out there, but you don't necessarily want the cheapest VPN. You want the best value VPN. In
you know what opinion, the cheapest car was for a while? The Daewoo. And you know where they are now? Not around.
But you like the Daewoo. You keep talking about how you want a Daewoo.
I didn't say I like the Daewoo. I said I should have invested in a Daewoo because now it's a collector's Daewoo item.
I like that name, Daewoo.
Daewoo.
Also, like a Saturn. If you own
it. Oh my God, we saw a Saturn the other day.
We saw a Saturn coupe the other day. And we were like, oh my God, it's a Saturn coupe. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did you see a Geo?
Oh, no, we haven't seen a Geo.
Damn. No. What about a Mercury?
I have a friend who had the first Prius.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he was a dude who just liked to walk a lot. Like, he was just one of those, like, he was the...
Those walkers.
He was a hippie. Well, like he was a hippie. Like, that's why he had the first
Prius.
The Prius. And the dealer offered, because he had such low miles on it, they offered, like, hey, we'll buy the thing, and we'll basically, you're just paying for the taxes and licensing, and you could take a new Prius home.
Wow.
And he didn't do it. He just kept it. So.
You know, that's probably a good point, good thing to do, though, because having the first of any car line is probably going to be worth a lot down the line as a collector thing, probably. Mm.
Depends what it is. Yeah.
But a Prius.
You don't want a Hyundai Elantra first gen, dude.
You might. It could. Maybe, it could be valuable to someone at some point. But anyway, expressvpn.com/newbiestartrek. Sign up for 12 months. You get 3 months for free. It's the best value, in my opinion.
Send it off.
Yeah. And also, Exter. Oh, I don't have the wallet here. I got the copper wallet. I'll put pictures up for the YouTube version and I'll put a link. But I got the copper wallet and I've actually been using it this whole week. And the copper wallet, I gotta be honest, it's converted me to going back to that form factor, because I was going for the Parliament the whole time. I really like the way this copper wallet looks. So I've been using it. To me, there's two things. One, it looks really good, but two, the button is also metal. It's also copper.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so I think the entire mechanism inside is all copper.
Do we have any more of these copper wallets?
We have one more. Yeah. So we're trying to think about what we're gonna do with it. But
let's fight for it.
We can fight for it. Yeah.
Yeah, the copper looks pretty cool. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I like that, like that metal, like that really dark burned like brown metal look. It looks really good.
Is it plastic, the button, or is it metal?
No, it's metal. It's metal. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's
the baller. Button's metal. I think the mechanism inside is metal. I think it's all metal. I mean, the plastic mechanism is fine on the regular wallets, but it's nice when the button's metal too. I think that's really cool. If you guys are in the market for, you know, nice, compact, stylish wallet, you know, with a quick access button, or The grid backpack, that's also good. Actually, we've been using the grid backpack a lot lately because we recently did a shoot. We just put all the gear right in them. It all fit perfectly. And we just used that as our entire equipment backpack. It was great. Just put it all in there.
You got a lot of duffel bag coming too.
Yeah.
That duffel bag's out now.
That OnlyFans video that you guys shot is going to come out soon.
For John Cena?
Yeah, dude.
Stay tuned, everyone. Stay tuned.
Well, it's a knockoff.
Good job, John Cena, by the way.
guys, I lost my train of thought. God damn it.
Well, if you guys are interested in any of Exter's products, head on over to Exter.com. That's EKSTER.com and use our offer code newbie when you check out for a discount on any order site wide. And I just say general discount because whatever the discount is, it stacks with whatever sales are going on. So you will always get an additional discount based on top of that sale. So again, head on over to Exter.com and use offer code newbie, N-E-W-B-I-E, for a discount on any order site wide.
Hell yeah.
All right. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Ricardo, could you please tell us what happened in this episode?
Yes.
What did happen? I feel like you've been talking about this episode like the whole time we've been doing this podcast, Ricardo, because it's all about everything you've been saying about finding other ways to make old people useful.
Yes. I've been saying this for a long time. Old people should not be running the country. I've said it once. I'll say it again.
We should find
an interesting way to squeeze the last bits of years out of them.
That was a swerve.
We should appreciate retirement. Like,
that's
bring
what
back
I was gonna
appreciation
say. Yeah.
Of retirement. Bring back.
But Sarah, you,
doing
you
nothing.
You what you don't understand is that like some people don't have. And I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is true or if this is an actual fact, but when like you stop having a purpose, like you kind of like deteriorate.
This is a real thing, right? This is a well documented phenomenon. A lot of people, if their entire purpose was their work and they stop work, their health like nosedives.
Yeah,
so I think there's a deeper issue there. Like we have to stop tying purpose to working.
That's true.
For somebody.
I agree.
Like you can work doing your own things. You can have hobbies. You can make meaningful change, but you don't like, we need to reorient what it means to have a purpose.
Yeah, but you can still do that, but it's still not going to change the fact that people are going to do that. Even if you, because it's something that you do every day.
But it's also, and it's also because it's been documented with phenomena that's not just working for a company.
Yeah.
Like when certain parents, when children are fully out of the house, their health declines. Some parents, because their entire life was just for the kid.
It could be tied to anything. So it's a matter of like, and I understand that. That's why I'm not saying like, I'm not saying like you should just retire. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, there should be a thing where you pivot, like I do, as much as I hate Walmart as a corporation, I do like that they hire, and Costco does it too, they hire like older retired people that are greeters. That's a great thing.
But I also think that it should be more of like, we should have just a more robust retirement system in general.
Yeah.
I pitched this a couple fucking episodes ago. First of all, look, this is a deeper fucking conversation, dude, because I'm going to shit on fucking
Republicans. I can agree with that, with like a pivot system of some
but,
kind.
But I pitched this a couple episodes ago. I don't know if I was really high or and I imagined it or not, but I was saying no matter how, like as long as you paid income taxes for a certain amount of years, you start getting one trip a year. Right?
Yeah, the government subsidized vacation.
Yeah, we came up with this. Yeah, we were like, oh, we should like retirement should be not just survival. It should be something that's a bit rewarding. And if we're talking about also some people who are like, oh, I don't want to retire. It could be like, well, we should set up systems that allow people to gracefully transfer to something that is less demanding on mm-hmm. them in this fashion.
Also, you know, also like, look, there's so many ways to do it. Like it could be in the tier system where you're like, hey, I have a lot of money that I retired with, so I'm gonna take, you know, the basic vacation package that you give all the retirees, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna pay to upgrade it. You know
right,
I mean?
Right.
And
right.
You're allowed to do that. Like, hey, instead of you know flying, you know, you give them like an X amount of miles that you could you know travel, you know, and you could add by paying for your package to go overseas or to anything like that.
Right, right.
But I've always thought that, like, that, I mean, other countries, I know a lot of Hispanic, Latin American countries do it, and I'm sure a lot of Asian countries do it too, which is that you take care of your elders, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
You don't put them in homes, that you kind of, you they move in or something, you know?
Yes, yes.
And that's, you know, and I think that that's not a bad thing. I mean, if your parents aren't annoying,
but it also depends on the context. So, like,
yes, yes, yes.
It's like, it's funny you bring that up, like with Asian families, because it's like my grandma has actually spent her whole life living with various family members, and the thing she wanted to do in her, like, she's been wanting, she had done
Twilight.
Yeah, is she wants to live alone. She's tired of living with other family members, actually.
Which is great.
And she said that this is actually, like, the
favorite time.
She's the happiest she's ever been, actually. She told us that pretty explicitly, that she's like, oh, I love living alone. Yeah. It's actually pretty great.
But that's also a transition, you know, like that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You're used to one way or another. But I'm just saying in general, like, I'm not saying that you should live with your parents or whatever, but I'm saying that, like, we should be more mindful and in charge of, like,
what our parents want to do later in life. Like, it should be built in to our society to, like,
exactly.
figure out and meet their needs instead of just being like, well, you're old now.
Yeah. And none of this bullshit of, like, well, people are living longer. We're going to raise the fucking retirement. Nah, fuck. Like you're moving the goalpost now.
Yeah, yeah. Don't raise the retirement age. Yeah. It's bullshit.
I know. Like,
Don't be stupid. I know. Jesus.
Everyone's living longer? Let's just make them work more too. It's fucking horseshit.
But again, like there's so many, like, again, there's so many ways that this could be done. If somebody cared to, like, implement a system that would actually, the thing is, like, you have people even in corporations that should have retired a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And they're still there because that's all they know. Like, I mean, a couple of people above me, a dude was like almost 70, and it's like, he shouldn't have been there. He was just taking up the spot of someone younger who could have risen to that position. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And he could have retired 5 years ago, but he didn't. And he was just kind of dragging ass. And I get it. Like, hey, you want a purpose and stuff, but, like, we should be transitioning people to be like, hey, let's figure something else, dude. Let's figure something else out. Even corporations should figure that out. Like, hey,
we should
have a system to figure this out. Like, so, like, we let management come in and maybe they make less and then we put them somewhere else. And, you know, like, there's so many things that could be done, but we don't do it. And you have people that cling on like that. Like, we shouldn't have Mitch McConnell or Nancy Pelosi or anybody on both sides.
Mm-hmm. No, anywhere.
Anything. Like the fact literally.
I know we're being political, but it is just such a travesty that our 2024 election is just a repeat of the exact same people in 2020. Mm-hmm. The same old fucks. Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
I think also they would both actually set the record for oldest president in office.
It's either fucking one of them. Absurd. Yeah. Why are we tolerating this as a country? It is absurd.
But also, like but a lot of people will say, like, well, we can't pass legislation to because then that's ageism. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, then you're telling me that we should Then you're telling me that we should get rid of the minimum age to be a president then. Because if you can't be too old to be president,
that's
you can't
true
be
too.
Too young to be president.
So, and like, the other thing is, it's like,
you're 18, it's like jury duty, dude.
It's not ageism. If you are literally, let's say you're a paraplegic, right?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't affect who you are as a person, but you fundamentally cannot be a fireman, right? It's just not possible to be a fireman.
I mean, I think a more accurate thing was, like, I don't think anybody should be a fireman or fireperson at 80 years old. Like, I don't think that's the same thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not we're being ageist against you. You don't have to be a
paraplegic. You can, yeah. I just think that there are some jobs that cannot be done at some ages.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like,
it's just the way it is.
It's not a knock against people for being older. It's just,
there are other jobs that you can do for sure, but there are just some jobs that at certain ages you just shouldn't be doing, and being president is one of them.
I would support at least like tests for competency starting from a certain age.
They do
those are real ones, ones that work.
also public. None of that fucking behind closed doors.
Oh, public. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
well, yeah.
Like,
one of us does the test. No.
We bring in 10 doctors and then
televised live.
And the, whoever's taking the test, whoever's running for president has to like draw a number and gets whatever doctor they pull out of the fucking hat, dude. That's who's going to test them. And each one has different tests, so they're not the same. Mm. And they come in and they got to do the fucking dog TV VCR person dog. And if you can't,
but that test was bullshit. That was everybody a test to see if you had brain damage. That was the test for competency.
It's like that wasn't even really such a test. It was whether or not you have dementia.
Yeah,
I think you should also be able to have a intelligent conversation with a constituent randomly. Just me asking you questions about things and you being able to coherently and
trying to eat an ice cream cone while you're trying to answer a question live.
Well, here's the thing is that we're getting really into the weeds on this, but I would just take myself, right? Of a certain age now, I have a child. Mm. I'm a little older now, and I'll look at like, I'll give credit to a few people that like deserve a lot of credit.
Uh-huh.
Like my parents are some of them. And then my in-laws are also a group that I know that like, don't do the thing where they're like, oh, they're not like always like, well, in my time. No, it's just like they kind of accept like, oh, well, things are done kind of differently. You know what I mean? Like whatever, wherever it is, whether it's music or whatever, it's just like, it's kind of done differently now. Like I get it. It's fine. And I've been really mindful of that. Like as I get older, to not be like, well, that's not fucking music. You know what I mean? To not do that. You know what I mean? And so like I was watching the Grammys this year and I was like, I don't get this, but you know what? And I was like, it's not for me and it's okay. It's okay that it's for younger people. Like I don't, why does everything have to be fucking there for everybody?
Right.
And it's okay. If the thing is that people are too afraid to say, I don't get it. And it's like reading a book that's above your fucking, your comprehension level. It's okay to just say, man, I didn't get this fucking, that Thomas Pynchon fucking book, dude. I read it 2 times and I think he's just fucking with us. But I didn't get it. I'm not smart enough to get it. You know, maybe somebody else will get it.
And at that point, isn't even it about an intelligence? It's just about
it's preference.
You know, yeah.
Well, yeah, and life experience. Like,
yeah.
You don't have the lives these other people have, and you don't have the same sort of experience with it.
It's exactly like reading like fucking Romeo and Juliet in high school, which I think is stupid because it was a different time when it was written, and like you reading about Romeo and Juliet. You will not. I've read it now as an adult, and I'm like, I finally get it, dude.
And the funny part is, like, they always presented Romeo and Juliet in school as if it's like this was the high art of the time. When the only person who ever told me in context in college, in high school, was my high school English teacher, Mr. Brown. He was like, okay, we are going to read Romeo and Juliet, but I want you guys to keep in mind, this is kind of like the Marvel movie or whatever. He didn't say that, but like, you know, this is kind of like,
this is the NSYNC of
this. This is for the masses.
Yeah.
So this is not high art. We just consider it high art today for some reason, you know, maybe because it's one of the most more survivable pieces of work because it was so popular. It survived because back then, a lot of scripts and screenplays were written in secret because they didn't want their stories to be stolen by other theaters. So they wrote it in parts.
Are there known contemporaries like from the time that were comparison points that were like high art of its time?
I wouldn't know. I'm sure there is, but
I would love to see a comparison because if Shakespeare like of that time is what we consider like, you know, highfalutin stuff now, then what was highfalutin back then?
Yeah, I'd be curious to know because he intentionally wrote like dick jokes and sex jokes into his stuff to keep the people like
that he did
like laughing because it was not intended to be high art. It was supposed to be for the masses. So
I mean, the Seagull. By Chekhov, that's kind of considered high art, right? Like, that's not pop of its time.
I guess so, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Anyway, let's get into the episode, dude. We've gotten way too far, which is to say that, like,
the episode inspires us.
We got to the core of the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, we got it too early. Which is that, like, you have this man that's out of time.
Yeah.
And in modern society. And what it boils down to, and I'm glad we kind of Tarantino'd the conversation, which is we had the old the thing about age in the beginning, and then now we're going to the beginning. But look, he gets unfrozen. Like, it doesn't matter that his name's Scotty or Tim, whatever it is. That doesn't matter. What matters is that he's a man unfrozen. He's like the Encino Man, but he can talk.
I do like that they use this trick, because we always talk about, why don't they use the transport to do this?
Yes.
Why don't we use the transport to do that?
This is a good fucking idea.
Yeah. Like, so finally, someone was like, let's use the transporter in a fun way. And they did it.
Also, like, hey, we're going to die. We don't have much power or just resources in general.
Yeah.
Let's fucking freeze it. Let's freeze ourselves in the fucking transporter. It's genius. It's quite genius.
But they've already kind of done it, like, just an episode or two ago.
I know.
Is there a limit to how many people you can freeze in there?
Oh, it's because everyone died except the two of them. That's why they did that.
Oh, okay. So they just ended up surviving.
They were the only ones who survived. Yeah.
You can't freeze a human unless...
No, but I mean, like, that is...
Especially here in Missouri.
No, but, like, say the whole ship knew they were going to... You know, could they all be in...
Potentially, maybe. Yeah.
I guess it depends on how large your pattern buffer size is. There must be a capacity to said buffer.
But I imagine they probably could have written it as, oh, this many people could be in there, you know?
Right, but then at the very least, there would be a limit to as many as you can fit onto the transporter pad at once.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd all just crowd in.
how many Michael buffers can you fit in the transporter?
Let's get ready to transport...
And it's funny because his brother down does it, and you don't really see Michael Buffer anymore.
Does he have to pay his brother to do it?
He's trademarked, dude. Like the
straight. Well, like, did his brother like cut him in on the business, or is he just like, can I do it?
I think he's getting his beak wet on it, dude.
All right.
I was once waiting in a TSA line, and Michael Buffer was behind me, and I wanted to go, like, can you leave a voicemail? I'll go on voicemail, but I chickened out. All right, so
he wouldn't have done it though.
You should have just said, "Let's get ready to." You should have in front of him said, "Let's get ready to rumble," and he'd have been like, "Oh, I'm gonna sue you."
Yeah, it's like when you sing "Happy Birthday," but now I check it out. All right, so he's a man out of time, and he's trying to help. He's trying to help them.
There's a Dyson sphere, by the way. There's a big Dyson sphere.
A Miles Dyson Cyberdyne Systems fucking sphere. And so he's trying to help them, like, figure this thing out. And, like, and he's just getting in the way. And he's, like, he keeps doing things that, like, they're, like, he's, like, oh, this is going to blow up. And they're, like, dude, fucking calm the fuck down, dude. Like, it's fine. We do that now. Like, we push to the limits, dude.
I do think it's annoying that he was, like, oh, my God, this is going to blow. Instead of being, like, why is it like that?
It reminds me of, like, the grandparent who tries to tell the new parent exactly how to do everything, that everything that they knew how to do to take care of children back then was actually super harmful and potentially murderous to the babies.
Yeah. Like Angriest Pat's parents.
Exactly. Exactly like those. Gotta put the baby on his stomach.
No, it's gonna choke.
It's like that.
This character really reminded me of kind of, I think anybody can relate to this in any industry, but somebody who has been working in a industry for a very long time and at your workplace, they're just constantly being like, well, back in the day, we used to, you know, write everything down by pencil, and, you know, and you're just like, okay, well, we don't do that anymore. And it's just not
or like they're like, well, why are you doing this? Well, it's because it's the easy way.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
The computer now knows how to do this. And they're well, what doesn't make sense to me? Well, it doesn't matter because it's the easy way now. So, and other companies I worked at, they would bend the knee to, like, oh, well, they're an older person worker. Yeah. Like, by older, I mean like 40s, 50s. And they're like, they're an older worker. So let's just kind of like bend the workflow for them. And it's like, this new company I'm in, they're like, no, either they adapt, they have till the third, or else they're going to, literally, it's like, and the third, we're going to shut your system down. We're going to upgrade it and you're screwed. So you better learn. Sorry.
That's very true. But it exists in, like, it doesn't even matter what industry you're in. I think it's just exists everywhere.
Yes.
And, like, that's what this episode reminded me of so much. I was like, oh my God, I'm getting so frustrated because this person just will not understand that with time, things change. And my number one thing with anybody who knows me as a worker or has been a coworker of mine knows that my number one thing, one of my number one things, is adaptability. You have to be ready to adapt and change every single day. It's like my mantra at work. Like,
but what does adaptability mean to you?
It means that always be open to change.
Sometimes when like upper management says adaptability, that means you should be adaptable to working a lot of hours.
Oh, no. That's not what I meant.
Okay.
No, what I mean is that we should always wake up every day trying to do better than the last day, efficiency-wise, workflow-wise, doing things that make sense.
Things that make it easier for everyone while still keeping up the quality.
And we should never say... We should never say the phrase, well, we've always done it this way and that's why we do it. Like, that should never be a justification for anything. So that's, everyone who works with me knows that that's the kind of person I am. But I've learned that probably about 80% of the people I've ever worked with professionally do not think that way, like, at all.
I mean, like, just to be frank, okay, we're getting really nitty gritty, but a lot of us here work in post, in the post industry. If you know anything about post in film and video.
By the way, we're talking about Post Malone.
Yeah, that's it. We're talking. Yeah, we're all working the Post
Malone.
We're
in the Post Malone industry.
Yeah.
You keep them all in check.
Yeah.
Dude.
In post production, Avid Media Composer is one of the biggest editing softwares in the world.
We lost a lot of people in this one, right?
I know. But I just want to say that, like, the company is almost dead. And the only reason it's still going is because a lot of older companies still use it. And there's a lot of merits to Avid Media Composer. I actually use it all the time, but it is completely non-agile as a software development company that I'm shocked it's still alive. And it's really only alive because there's, like, lots of editors in their 50s and 60s who are like, I just want to work in Avid. And that's all they do. So it's everywhere in our industry where it's kind of like, well, why are we still using Avid for this really quick piece? You know, spending more time ingesting than we are editing. You know?
But it's, you're talking about something that's very universal because like,
absolutely.
It could be the way, the way we do a guy.
Hospitals can work this way. You know,
Hospitals work this way.
Like fax machines are still in wide use now because healthcare cannot separate themselves from what they ingrain into the infrastructure.
It's fucking crazy. Why would we still be using fax machines at this point?
There are electronic fax servers and stuff like that operating, you know, like substituting for fax numbers because they still need to do faxing.
That's like a plot point in Blacklist where, like, Raymond Reddington, his entire information network was done with fax machines because it's, like, so old, no one's keeping track of fax machines.
up until a couple of years ago, they were still using those dot matrix printers at the DMV.
Fucking in Japan, they just recently passed a law so that you can no longer use floppy disk for certain critical infrastructure pieces of software. Like, tiny, like the original floppy disks
the floppiest of the floppiest.
Like, it's crazy how many things are just done because that's just the way it's always been done.
So here's the thing about this episode is that they could have had, the Enterprise is a big fucking ship. They could have had a bunch, like any fucking ensign.
Yeah.
Go.
That's a good point.
Hey, sir, we're going to stand behind Geordi. And I'm going to kind of just explain as what we're doing. Just so, like, you're caught up. And also, like, Picard was right. Towards the end of the episode, he's like, hey, go with him. Send him down there. He may be able to bring some context into this that you can't figure out because it's an old ship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's like, oh, okay. I'll do it. I'll go with him, Geordi says.
Yeah.
Picard is right. Like, they should have just brought an ensign and go, hey, I'm going to kind of keep up. Like, I'm also learning, you know?
Yeah.
I know the new stuff. So maybe I could learn something from you. Like, literally, the ensign could learn something from him. So, like,
yeah. And that would make him feel more important because he's both 100%. Learning and teaching at the same time. Like, that.
100%. And you're not starting from square one because he does say, I don't want to start from square one. And it's just like, hey, how did you do this before? Okay, so this is how we do it now. So it's a little different, but, like, it's only shifted by this much and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's so many ways it could have done it. And I get it. Like, they did this for dramatic purposes, but, like, it just...
Like, Data would have been the perfect guy.
Yes. Really. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because he would be...
He'd, like, be able to give an accurate history of every single thing.
And he'd also be, like unflappably patient with him. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they made... For those of us who haven't watched TOS... they really found a way to make us like hate this fucking guy like, so much. Like, I don't, this didn't make me want to go back and watch TOS. I was like, oh, if this was the first episode of Star Trek I've ever seen, if I just so happened to fall on this episode, I would be like, this is trash. I never want to watch this show ever again. Like, I, and we haven't even covered, like, we'll get to it, but there's so many plot holes. And,
but
I just, I don't know.
I'm going to disagree a little bit with you and agree with you as well. I think that the episode's bad because it's bad, but not because, like, the fact that they brought somebody in that we don't know has no...
I agree with you there.
Like, the fact that, like, it was a character that I didn't know and they brought him in, I don't... It didn't affect this episode being bad. In fact, he could have been named Tim. It doesn't matter. It made it very clear that he was a very old, especially when like they flash back in the not flashback, when they went into the original
situation Enterprise room. Set,
yeah, whatever it's called. They like, you're like, okay, well, he comes from a really old ship,
yeah,
and it kind of put everything into context. It doesn't matter if he was old. Like, to me, like, that didn't, I don't think it alienated me either, the fact that I didn't know who he was. Like, I think that it just was a badly written episode for me. There's so many plot holes. I'm like, why the fuck was it me, or did it just look like Earth backwards? Like, Earth,
yeah, was, that was like, the point. That was that is what the conception of a Dyson sphere is.
Okay,
it's that
and the sun was in the middle, right?
The sun's in the middle, and the sphere, because it's surrounding it, converts all of the energy from the sun into use. Like, nothing is wasted. And because of that, you can just build on the inside your whole thing.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically,
it's kind of like Interstellar. The end of Interstellar.
Yeah. That's not even wrong. Like, Interstellar.
Do you get nighttime?
I guess not.
Damn.
That's okay. We have blackout curtains.
Yeah. It would have been cool. It would have been cool if Scotty met like his great great grandson and he was old, just like him, you know?
Oh.
And then it would have been cool, even not knowing, being new to Scotty.
Yeah, right.
It would have been cool if like, as a gimmick, they would have been like, oh, dude, we're at the end. Like, hey, we found your great-grandson. And maybe you could, it's a thing you can do it in your retirement, is go talk to, like, think about all these things you're going to discover because you have, mm-hmm. like, three generations that you've jumped ahead of, you know? That would have been something interesting and cool, but no, instead we had this weird fucking sphere, the Miles Dyson Cyberdyne bridge, and then like that was poorly explained, and then like him kissing people at the end really freaked me out, like even hugging them, like this is a military fucking institution here, right? You know what I mean, like,
listen, he's an old man,
understand, like he's racist and he hugs everybody, like I get it, dude, but he's like
a little too touchy.
But he,
like we had this problem with Joe Biden here kissing people as well.
We had this problem with John Lasseter. We have this problem
and Jim Lasseter,
remember Joe Biden kissing the babies and stuff and the people, and
by the way,
it's just the way it is.
I said it before the pandemic and I'll say it again. The Asian community has it right, dude. You wear a mask when you have a fucking simple cold and you bow instead of fucking shaking hands, dude. That makes fucking sense, dude. Why the fuck are we in this 2024, dude, and we're still fucking shaking hands, dude? I'm done with it. I've gone into the office at work and met new people, never shake their hands.
Oh, really?
Fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I often wave. I go, hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to get in front of it, though. Like, hey, this is Ricardo, this is blah, blah. You go, hey, nice to meet you. And you go high on the hand, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, the higher above your waist it is, the less likely you're going to get your hand to shake.
No, how often do you leave someone hanging? Like, how often does that end up happening?
I've only done it once, and I said, oh, I just had a cold, and I don't want to get you sick. And they're like, oh, okay. Great, thank you. All right. And I never had a cold. I just like, it's a go-to
now.
It's a go-to
now. So you just don't want to shake people's hands ever since the pandemic, or just in general?
Even before that.
Really?
I've been saying it for fucking years. Like, this is stupid, dude. Like, family, yes, it's fine. Give them a hug, give them a kiss, whatever the fuck you want to do, dude.
No, family, shake their hand.
Yeah. Just do the whole bones, you know? No, you with just, family, I'm fine.
Just tap your family and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
What's up, mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ma?
I can get behind that, but you know, it's okay. He's from an older time. That's what they did back then.
They gotta bring the ensign out and go, hey, Scotty. So, or Mr. Scotland. Well, also,
I guess I'll just be honest. Like, so I'm a hugger, but the way I approach it is, hey, I'm a hugger. Are you okay with the hug? And if they say, okay.
Yeah, I always
I do
I like
hug.
That. Okay, I like
but if
that.
Not, I'm like, that's cool. Hi. That's what I say. You know, like,
My biggest thing, and I hate this, and I try to remind my wife all the time, and I try to do in my family as well, which is like, if when I'm saying goodbye, when there's little kids, I like to get out there first.
Right.
Because I hate the whole, oh, Baba's leaving, give him a hug.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's like, that either. No, like, let's start teaching him young about consent, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. And I always go, and especially with my niece on my sister's side and both on my sister-in-law's side, I always go, oh, you don't have to. And most of the time, like, she will do it. You know what I mean? But I love to say, oh, you don't have to. You don't have to.
Right. Yeah.
I always am very pro, like, when saying goodbye or greeting, I leave it on the kids' terms. We don't have to hug or anything or have any physical contact at all. You can initiate that if you want to. I'm okay with it, but you're
sometimes,
more than welcome
sometimes to. They don't have the age or the mental capability to understand that. So you just go, if somebody goes, hey, you hug Ricardo goodbye, you're like, you don't have to. If you don't want to.
Yeah, for sure.
And they it's a cool, you got to do it with like a smile and like it's a cool vibe. It's like, hey, cool.
But I, oh cool. My God, I have such crazy stories of like explaining my stance on this to say like a boomer generation. And boy, we have gotten into some heated discussions around that. The people I've talked to believe it's such a major sign of disrespect to not hug or kiss or like have physical contact with an elder no matter what. And I could not disagree more.
You're super insecure.
It's so bad. Like, I'm like, how are you for it? Why are you going to force this child to do this?
How are you so insecure that them not hugging you goodbye?
Also, the kids like literally crying, not wanting to, you know, like, don't do that. Like, just don't.
I don't mind like hugging people. It's just that like I don't like shaking strangers' hands, and I don't like, you know, when you meet somebody new.
I want to know everyone's cool with
it. Not even that. I just don't like people. To be honest, like,
we get to the root of the issue.
Yeah, here's the thing.
We made it.
Here's the thing: is
the
like,
root of the issue is I'm, just don't like
I'm,
people.
I'm just getting okay with you, Sarah. You know what I mean? Oh,
yeah. No, I know. It's been a road. We all
started negative. Like Marvin, we didn't talk for the first fucking like few months when we worked together.
No, legitimately, Ricardo and I did not talk for about 3 months.
And he sat next to me. And he was training me, by the way.
I trained him, and he was sitting next to me.
Here's the thing: is that like a lot of people are like, oh, you're 100 for me. And then if you let me down or you...
That's me. I'm right? that person.
And I'm not. I'm always like, you're at a zero. Oh, and then we build from there. But
I'm the total opposite. Everyone starts at 110.
Yeah. That's so dangerous.
That's very, very dangerous.
I had a friend, my friend's wife, who literally for like 10 years, I knew her. We weren't friendly. We wouldn't talk.
This is the Australian.
No. This is a really close friend, actually, his wife. And then, I mean, I've known them now for like over 20 years. So like, and then maybe like 10 years.
Oh, I know now.
We started talking for like 5 minutes and we're like, oh my God, we're the same. We hate everything. And then I was closer everything. To her than I was to, you know, her husband, who I'm really close to. But anyway, you started a negative. So I meet Scotty. He's at a negative. Stand back. I'll get your whiskey. So let's talk about the whiskey, dude.
Oh my God.
This guy, a little racist, over hugger, and a goddamn alcoholic, dude.
Yeah.
He goes to work fucking hungover, dude.
Yeah.
That's okay. Look, Mad Men. We're talking about Mad Men days, all right?
He's like, the Mad Men of his generation.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God. This is the John Hamm
of Star Trek.
Yeah.
I wanted him to go. Like when he got separated.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jordy's like, we can't communicate. I think the Enterprise is offline or whatever. I wanted Scotty to go, well, I hit a bottle of booze. Let me go get it. And just, they just start drinking. He's like, you know what? I work better when I fucking drink, dude. Let me take a hit of this thing and then we'll start going.
I would have loved that.
That actually
would have made him a lot more likable.
That was kind of his character in TOS. He was the drunk guy.
Well, yeah, that's the part I remembered. It's like, well, good. Yeah. But now it's just depressing and only depressing.
Yeah. Now it's depressing drinking, not funny drinking.
The whiskey looks like Surge.
I have a question about that whole, this is one of the plot holes in my opinion. So, okay, synthahol, data, made to taste exactly like alcohol. He tastes synthahol. He orders, you know, straight up scotch. And he orders it, he gets it, and he's like, ew, this is disgusting, blah, blah, blah. And then Data comes over and he's like, sir, I think I know what's going on here. You know, this is synthahol. Synthahol is supposed to taste, mimic, smell everything alcohol, but the only difference is the effects are a lot shorter, which fucking sucks, to be honest. I would not want something like that. And but then Scotty noticeably says this tastes nothing like it. So like, how does that, that I feel like is conflicting information. Exactly. To
That's
me,
what I thought too. Right? Like I thought, because he says, what is this? He didn't say, oh, it tastes just like it, but it doesn't feel like it stings.
Like I'm not getting a buzz, you know.
It's not pungent to the nose.
So they brought this up before.
It's like, it tastes like Diet Coke. Aspartame.
It's kind of like the Diet like
Coke Zero. God damn it.
It's like the Diet Coke of booze. So like,
you taste something weird.
Yeah. So like back, like remember off. The yeah. Irish people episode Up the Long Ladder? They made a big point out of it. They replicated whiskey there and they were like, what the hell is this? This is bullshit.
But then why is Data saying that synthahol is supposed to mimic it exactly? Like he needs to say that it's close, but it's no cigar. You know what I mean?
I think it's more of like synthahol has become so widely accepted that people forget what real alcohol is really like. And even like Robert, Jean-Luc Picard's brother, brings it up where he goes like, oh, you're used to that synthahol bullshit. And, you know, you've forgotten what real wine tastes like.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So like I think synthahol has just become so widely accepted that the original stuff, it's like balsamic vinegar in America versus real balsamic vinegar.
Well, you know, it's like very like different. It's like
olive oil here versus olive oil in like Italy.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Parmesan cheese here versus like real Parmesan cheese.
You're like, where's the little green Kraft thing?
Exactly. That's it. This is the Kraft.
But that's shitty. That I would not say that is an exact match. They need to alter the way they wrote the script. This is what I mean by it was poorly written.
Well, I think it's just that's a social construct.
Data should have said it's supposed to be somewhat close to what scotch should taste like, but you'll notice a difference.
And then Scotty never goes like, whoa, like, that looks exactly like Baja Blast.
Baja Blast is bluer than that, though. Baja Blast is like Beverly's Coke.
This is Surge.
Yeah, I guess you're
and
right.
I love Surge. Oh, man.
But he never pointed out like, wait, it's like scotch is supposed to be like a brownish kind of like amber color, dude. Not this fucking neon fucking predator blood.
Weird bullshit.
Anyway,
that was a plot hole to me, is the whole synthahol thing.
Freaking plot holes. Yeah. Dude. There's so many plot holes.
Well, I consider that less a plot hole. That's like something they just didn't write well. Like,
I meant like that was one example of poor writing where Data should have never said that it's supposed to be exactly.
Like, for me, a big plot hole is they were like, just a slight jump. They're trapped around the sun in orbit and they say, we don't have enough power to leave. But as soon as the doors open, they have enough power to leave. What did that happen?
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
You didn't even think about it. Like,
like set course for the opening. Okay.
Why didn't we try to travel away from the exploding sun anyway?
Why didn't anybody go, have you guys seen Apollo 11, the movie? We're going to slingshot around the sun and then we're going to get out of here. They could have done that. So they easily.
Something.
But a slingshot around the sun would have been cool.
Yeah, but they just flew away.
How cool would it have been if they're like, we're going to slingshot around the sun, and by the time we get out of here, perfect tans, babies.
Although, perfect in tans. The world of Star Trek, if you slingshot around the sun, that also sends you back in time.
Yeah, so maybe they're 1992.
How cool, Marvin, they drop off Scotty, dude, and they're like, boom, just like Back to the Future 2.
Oh, see, I thought this episode was going to have an ending where something happens with finality to Scotty in that way, where like we do something like that, like returning him to his time somehow, or he dies in a heroic sacrifice or something.
Instead, it's just like, here's a free shuttle. You can go to your retirement or you don't. Yeah, here's you a don't
free,
have to.
Here's a free shuttle without a warp drive, so you can't really go anywhere. So you'll just float around in space for a long time.
Man, there's like, probably a space station nearby that he's probably supposed to go to.
I don't know.
Do they know? Do they know? At any point, do they know that they're in a multiverse?
Pretty sure they don't.
It's like,
well, wait, which multiverse are you talking about?
Well, because we're in a multiverse now, right? I mean, because
J.J. Abrams established definitively that there are multiverses.
But so also, like Strange New Worlds is a different universe where there's a different Kirk and stuff.
Right. They do all this sorts of stuff, yes.
Yeah.
One other
I love timey-wimey stuff like that.
One other plot hole, in my opinion.
One other? Is, you mean 100 more?
Yeah, 100 more. Is the ship, when they repair it to go fly and hold the doors open.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the ship, and they confirmed that it was like totaled, right? Structurally. So how were they able to just hit a few buttons, repair the system,
don't worry, fire it Scotty, up? Scotty was just doing his thing that he was trying to explain to Jordy, where he says it's fucked. But I mean, we saw it.
No, don't
be ridiculous. Get
it. Yeah, yeah.
Like, how was that
he
able
did that
to
in
like,
a life and death situation? Yes.
The longest con ever.
He literally just told you he was going to do that. He's like, you never tell the captain the whole time. Like, which, he basically said, like, oh, we're fucked.
And,
dude,
and to me, that's the highlight of the episode. He did the thing that we always say to do, which is under promise and over deliver.
Yeah.
Which is,
but Jordy's done it enough times already that I feel like it really shouldn't be a piece of advice that he dismisses.
Right, right.
From Scotty. It's like, yeah, I got it. I already know that. I do that all the time. Well,
yeah, it would have been great if he replied, 5 minutes, duh.
Yeah, like he should have known. He should have been in on it. That's what I wanted. But damn it, he did. He wasn't.
And then they share a sly smile and they go, yep, we're engineers.
Yeah, I wanted them to bond more about that sort of thing, you know?
Although the thing is, that's because Ronald Moore thinks Geordi is fundamentally completely different from Scotty, which I don't agree with because Ronald
Moore is.
Well, in some ways.
One's Scottish and one's black.
It's fundamentally pretty different. Yeah.
Well, so
Scotty, he drives like this. Jordy, he drives like this.
One of them has
he drives the Enterprise
vision.
Like this. but because I kind of agree in some part of what Ronald Moore thinks, because he thinks Scotty is an engineer through and through. If he had any choice in life, it would be to be an engineer on a big starship. Jordy actually would like to be a captain. You know, originally he started out in a command uniform.
He said that?
Well, he started out in a command uniform and he started out
red at first.
He was on the bridge and there were a few episodes where he took the command chair and was in charge of the Enterprise.
Like Worf style, where Worf's like, I'm in charge.
Yeah, yeah. But legitimately, like he had legitimate command. Yeah. And that was sort of like, that was back, especially back in the early seasons, it was sort of implied that that could be his future. He becomes a captain in the future. But in later seasons, he's obviously going back into engineering. So engineering is not like his first choice, but he's clearly like the best at it. And he's the best at it out of everyone in the ship. So I get that difference, but I don't understand the difference where he thinks like, oh, because of that, he thinks differently than Scotty does in terms of engineering. Clearly, they're both engineers. I mean, like, I don't think he would have such a complete difference in the way he approaches it.
Also, can I tell you how they both are exactly like? They're both fucking perverts, dude.
Oh, you're right.
Probably, yeah. And
even the story they told at the end was with the weird Leia Brahms episode. And that's the one.
He's like, you know,
it also helped me realize that Nate remembered it even more because it got back again. Sour the milk.
Oh my God.
He was so happy
to yell.
He talked
about the ravioli, the baby ravioli.
You soured the milk.
Yeah.
That was the baby ravioli episode, right?
Oh, the ravioli.
You know what I realized the other day? I still think it's more of a calzone.
You know what I realized the other day? Is that I don't like raviolis.
Oh,
I love ravioli. I love ravioli.
Raviolis are sick.
Get the fuck out of my face, you fuck.
Yeah, I don't.
That's not to like.
You know what? You know, Ricardo, you may change your mind if maybe one day we should get you some fried ravioli. Fried ravioli is really good.
You know what I like? Some spaghetti with like a fucking steak.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Sure.
Some
I agree.
Cheeky parm parm.
Yeah, that's good.
Some veal cacciatore.
Oh, no,
the ravioli, there's not enough meat in there to satisfy
it's filled with meat.
Oh my God.
It's not enough meat, dude.
Depending on what kind.
I've never met a ravioli that I said, oh, this has got the perfect amount of meat. The ratio's always off.
Oh, that's, I've had that all the time.
Oh my God, dude.
Not about the meat. It's about the.
My issue with ravioli is that you can usually count how many there are and then
you feel bad.
You can quantify your dinner in a
you're
way
like,
that
my
you
my dinner will
can't.
Be 16 bites.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks. Damn it.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought anyone else thought about ravioli that way. That's very interesting.
Oh, what's sad is when you go to a restaurant, I went to one recently and I ordered ravioli and I got like just three.
I know. I hate when that happens. I get it. It's hard to make ravioli from scratch.
Was it one of those fancy?
Yeah. But I just got, I was like, oh, I'll do the ravioli. It's like just three.
I'd rather have like 15 small raviolis than three big raviolis.
There's definitely a point of diminishing returns for fanciness in restaurants where it's just like, it isn't fucking worth this.
let me tell you something.
Yeah, you're right.
I went to Benihana with my family a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people ordered shrimp dishes, and I ordered the trio, which is steak, shrimp, and chicken. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this dude, he was fucking laying it on thick with the shrimp to everybody else, dude. And then I'm like, and then he finishes passing them around, and I'm like, the fuck? I didn't get my fucking shrimp, dude.
Oh!
What the fuck is up, dude? What the fuck is up, dude?
And then
he's like kind of doing the math, and he's like, and by the way, he was done cooking, by the way, at this point. And he's I forgot to give you shrimp, dude, didn't I? I'm like, yeah.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm like, it's fine, dude. Cause he was already like cleaning up the grill, dude. And he's like, no, I'm gonna go get them, dude. He pulled rank on me, dude. And I love that about him. And I'm like, that's all. And he brought extra shrimp for me.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I said, this guy is okay, dude.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're letting convicts cook at Benihana.
At Benihana, I always choose the brigand, whatever they called, the larger loin, and then shrimp, because that's the most meat. That's the most food you'll get. I go to Benihana. I know because it's a teppanyaki experience, you don't necessarily get a lot of food. So I try to maximize the volume of food.
That's
what you do.
Don't you wish, think about this, dude. We open up a place that's like Benihana.
Star Trek Benihana?
All you can eat. All you can eat.
Oh, that's hard. The chefs have to work constantly.
Yeah, that's fine. We're chefs, man.
Fine.
No, that's so hard.
We charge $100 per seat per hour, dude.
We tip because
the chef's got to pick and pay, dude.
Yeah.
And every hour we switch the chefs, dude.
Okay, all right.
I'm just saying, dude, this is business there. If you want to get on this, guys.
The funny part is like that teppanyaki was entirely not about like sit down dining experience. It was like, oh, we go to a cart that exists on the street, and then you just go in, grab your dish, and go. So it's kind of weird that it's like let's all sit down and watch the chef.
If my dad was in the Star Trek universe, he'd always be in the what's the ready room called? The
Ten Forward
room.
Holodeck.
The holodeck. My dad would always be at the holodeck, and they'd be like, "Dude, is your dad fucking jacking off again in the fucking holodeck?" And he'd be like, "No, he's at Benihana again." Computer, Benihana, 1999 at his prime, dude. When Benihana was at his prime.
To be fair,
was Benihana like pretty much the reason why teppanyaki exists in this form in America?
I think so,
yes, that is why. Yeah. The funny part is, well, not the funny. If holodeck existed in the future, Ricardo, everyone would be in the holodeck. Just society would collapse.
Oh yeah. Like Ready Player One isn't wrong.
No.
Like, okay, I think I've told you guys we have the MetaQuest 3.
Oh yes, yes, right, we talked about that.
Even though it's really cartoonish, it's amazingly fucking immersive.
Yeah,
like you forget, like you do it for like 45 minutes and you get out and you're like, this world kind of sucks, dude. So much cooler in there.
It is funny. People talk about, cause the Apple Vision Pro has come out, right?
Yeah.
And people like walk around with the Vision Pro on and it takes like 30 minutes to get used to it. But when they take it off, they all go, oh, the real world looks so much paler.
Yeah. Also, they're trying to pinch things.
Paler.
They're trying to pinch things.
It saturates colors for you.
So yeah, the Apple Vision Pro, because it's just a camera sensors, it's not fully realistic. So it is slightly hyper saturated. As a result, when they take it off, they go, oh, everything looks so
drab. I saw someone in the wild the other day using
it. Yeah, we saw it at a cafe. And we just saw some guy sitting in a chair just pinching the air. We're like,
are you just grabbing
God.
Things? He's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I was like, what is this guy doing? And they're wearing the thing, and they're sitting at a coffee shop. And I turned to Marvin, and I was like, please shoot me. Like, I can't do this.
He was probably doing commerce across the world.
If this is what the future looks like, please fucking
I was like, Sarah, he's got to show it off. He only has 2 hours. Hours to show it off in the cafe. Let him get all the value.
I have so many questions. Why are you at a cafe? Why does it even matter that you're at a cafe? Why
don't you sit at home? He bought a $3,500 visor. He's got to show it off to somebody.
But now you know he owns it.
Yeah.
Now you know he owns it.
There's a reason they put eyes on the outside.
It's okay. It's okay to be jealous, dude. It's okay to be jelly, dude.
I'm not jealous. Oh my God. I'm horrified is what I am.
Sign me up.
So look, I'm just going to straight out say it. This was like a 5 for me.
I would say it's like a 6. For me personally, I think there's some neat things.
You're only off by one. You made it seem like you're like, well, for
I know. It's not that different.
I'm gonna have to disagree.
I think you're like, I'm gonna agree to disagree, but I'm gonna fuck it 6.
I think it's better than Man of the People, which was the last episode. I think this is better.
I don't agree with
but
that.
I think
wait. Which one's Man of the People?
The one with the guy who kept sucking the life out of Deanna, and then
the Dorian far Gray worse. Deanna.
Oh yeah.
No, I think this episode's better than that because I think it's a few problems. Well, I think it's that.
Here's the thing, Marvin. Let me interrupt you real quick.
Okay.
How many nipples did you see in this fucking episode, dude?
Exactly.
We saw James Doohan's nipples.
Yeah, that's true, dude. No, I'm gonna go with the other one just because of that dress.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I agree.
I think so.
Can I just choose the best parts from both of these episodes?
Oh, little weird science.
Well, because there are some parts of this episode I think that were okay. Like, I think when he goes back to the old Enterprise set, not because it's the Enterprise set, but because of the conversation he has with Patrick Stewart.
I do like that. Yeah.
I think James Doohan, because of the way they wrote Scotty in this episode, he keeps saying each line as if it's the end of an episode. You know what I mean? he keeps saying,
yeah,
oh, an engineer was like meant to do this,
yeah,
and then like walk away. Oh, back in my day we would have done that. Like, that's how he delivers all of his lines until he talks with Patrick Stewart, because I think Patrick's sort of forcing him to like act normally, like act like an actor and be in a scene. Versus, well,
also
just,
the dialogue that they actually let him say things for once in the scene.
Yes. It's like an actual conversation versus. Like,
yeah, it isn't just like memories that don't relate to anything.
I mean, even that scene, though, they fucked it up technically because Patrick Stewart's out of focus like the whole time. Like, they just couldn't rack focus that day. But it is an interesting set. Like, they rebuilt the whole Enterprise bridge, the original. That's kind of neat that they did that. And you know, I just, that part's neat. I think it's also neat that I like the Dyson sphere concept. I like the fact that they use the transporter in a way that's actually clever.
We've
talked about it being used before, but there's a lot of plot holes. Like Sarah was saying earlier,
there weren't enough butt worms.
So like the whole premise of him crashing doesn't make any sense because they were like, okay, we crashed, we couldn't be saved, so we put ourselves in the transport buffer, right?
Yeah.
But then when crisis comes, they were able to get the whole ship up and running again.
Well, because they had future technology, dude.
Did they bring new technology in? Because Geordi just came in with his tricorder.
Well, that's all you need, dude. You know
that. I
think that was the assumption, was that I think he said like a very throwaway line that was like, hey, do you have something like this? And Geordi was like, I think I can make something.
Yeah.
But that doesn't account for like the structural damage, in my opinion.
Structural damage.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, they very clearly were like, this ship has been totaled structurally.
But then, even then, like the fact that they were able to fly it now means they didn't try to get it flying again back then, because I feel like Scotty was drunk, dude. he was drunk enough to be brave enough to try the transporter trick, but not to fix the ship.
He ran out of whiskey before he had the, you know, the wherewithal.
I'm too drunk for this.
So there's stuff out like that, and there's a fun, you know, the Enterprise escape sequence. Fun. It reminded me of the end of Independence Day because they had to turn the ship sideways.
Yeah. It reminded me of Titanic when the waves are coming.
I mean, the special effects are on point this episode. Yeah. The budget's here.
Yeah. So like every episode where they like go, oh, TOS guy's coming, they up the budget and then they like, you know,
I have a question.
So
and I'm now kind of remembering things from the J.J. Abrams movies. I did see those. So I remember now Sam Pegg is Scotty, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now I have a question. Like, in those movies, the Enterprise is fucking nimble as shit, dude. Like, they're doing loop-de-loos and fucking, they're putting on fucking Beastie Boys and fucking, you know, this Enterprise doesn't even have a fucking radio, dude. You know what I mean?
Like, it does. It's just.
Why is it so slow?
Picard-like silence.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Why is it so slow?
Well, even Geordi says that the Jelladon or whatever the heck that they repair should be faster than the Enterprise on impulse power.
Yeah.
It's just because it's small. It's like a tugboat.
It's because it's a big cruise ship. And the one that's in the J.J. Abrams movies, those are technically a smaller Enterprise. It's a Constitution class. So the Constitution class ships The Enterprise, I think, is like three times bigger or something. The new one.
But why is it all? Why are they all called Enterprise? Do they crash them and they build another?
Yeah. So this is not really a spoiler, but a lot of Enterprises tend to get into big accidents or something happens to them, and they replace them, and they just go, this was Enterprise A, B, C, D.
Oh, I hear you now. I hear you. That's what the letters.
Yeah.
I do like how he was annoyed with the computer, you know. Specifying which Enterprise it was.
He should have said Enterprise 69, baby.
It's a little also off-putting to see James Doohan acting drunk. I believe he was an alcoholic in real life.
Oh, so you're saying just act normal?
So it was like, I was just like, I don't know if we should be. It reminds me of, what's it called? Remember they had the Fuller House reboot?
Yeah.
And then one of the sisters in the Fuller House reboot, she had a problem with like alcohol and drugs.
Meth.
And then they wrote her character in the show to specifically be a party girl. And I was like, that's in poor taste.
I think she requested it, actually.
Did she legitimately specifically request that?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. You know, I was thinking the other day is I tried some stuff from ease.com. And I was thinking, who were like out of the box actors that I would love to see in Star Trek, dude? Just going nuts, dude. Al Pacino, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
Imagine, dude, talking to Riker. Hoo-ah! Let's go to Impulse Power. You know, like just going nuts, dude. I would love that, dude. Just yelling out fucking orders.
No, they should turn him into a Klingon.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think that would work.
Put all the makeup on him. He would just be like one of Gowron's rivals. You know?
Well, I'm assuming it's mostly like Devil's Advocate.
Yes.
Al Pacino.
Oh, Devil's Advocate. Al Pacino is the best, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think I said my score. I'm going to go with a 5.
Okay.
For all the reasons listed previously.
Hoo-ah.
That's fair.
Overall, I think that this was poorly.
Maybe you should
written.
Score it even lower because you like this less than Man of the People.
Yeah, so. You scored it really high, dude. Yeah.
What did I score? I don't even remember.
Man of the People, you gave a 5, I think.
You scored a 7.
All right. I'll go with a 4.5.
No, you know what? 5. We're gonna stay with a 7, dude. We're gonna lock you into a 7.
Hell no, never a 7. It just was poorly written. I don't buy it for a second that
I agree.
He really worked on this hard. You know, I don't buy that.
I think honestly, it was the sentimentality he had for the original show that got in the way of him writing it effectively.
Yeah. Every time I hear the name Ronald Moore, I think Ronald McDonald, and I imagine him going, "I don't want to go back to flipping burgers. The script better work. The script better fucking work."
That's what Ronald McDonald exactly does. He's just a run of the mill.
Ronald McDonald's been a spec script writer this whole time. He has a 5 o'clock shadow, like smoking cigarettes and a typewriter in his apartment.
He's divorced.
Yeah, he's always got his head buried in his hands. Going how am I gonna? Yeah. Fix
in a wastebasket full of crumpled up papers.
He's always eating pizza out of like an old pizza box.
Yeah, and he's still using like an old timey typewriter. Like,
yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, he missed the mark on this one. So 4.5.
He's like, I got to get out of this fucking burger racket.
Yeah. And his wife is like, didn't they say you'd get your residual next week, Ronnie?
Oh my gosh, we felt quite.
Who
is it,
who would his wife be from the McDonald's universe? Grimace? Let's make a Grimace.
Yeah.
Okay. Birdie was the only female character I could come
Isn't
up
Birdie
with.
Isn't Birdie like a little girl, though? So I don't think we could do that. It needs to be Grimace.
It's also a bird, so, you know. I just reached for whatever, you know?
It's a bird.
It's either that or a literal fry kid.
Yeah, or Grimace, who is just a taste bud. So.
Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese could work. Mayor McCheese. Yeah. Yeah, Mayor McCheese.
That's a real power couple, right? Yeah, you got Ronald McDonald and the mayor.
Well, Ronald's also jealous because Mayor McCheese's career is going way better and Ronald McDonald's scripts just aren't getting off the ground floor. You know, it's just, there's a big issue. You know?
Do you think Mayor McCheese has like an inferiority complex with Burger King?
I wish I could have been.
Yeah, it's like I only manage a municipality.
what would you rate this episode?
I'd give it a 6. And my biggest gripe with the episode overall is you didn't even try to reach out to your old crew. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, they deleted that scene.
Aren't they all dead at this point?
Like, he goes to the trouble.
Are they not dead?
No. Like, we know that Bones exists. He was in the very first episode. We know that Spock is undercover, sure. But he should at least ask about him. He should ask about people. And I know we've already addressed the fact that there was a scene, but there is no such scene.
I think they should not have cut that scene. I think there's other scenes they could have cut.
Like, if they had anything to address it at all, leave it in, even though that would have also been frustrating. But just like, you know, anything to better explain why he doesn't put more effort into finding his old friends, because they're his only connection to his old time now.
Yeah, and the way it's currently existing, it seems like he just has no interest.
Yeah.
And it was originally written as if he did, and they just ignored it for the cut, so that's not good.
The Dyson Sphere was also super wasted, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's a really cool concept that is just there for like a visual.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's it.
They just kind of explain. So for people, I think we did explain what a Dyson Sphere is, but I guess they didn't like incorporate it into the story itself as like a concept. It was just another trap. It could have been any trap.
Explain it well enough to help explain what you're looking at when they like fly past it, but it's only cool. But they don't really utilize the nature of a Dyson Sphere itself to really produce much more of a cool threat or interesting scenario than
a usual
trap.
As presented in the story, it could literally be any trap. It didn't have to be a Dyson Sphere.
It could have been a black hole. It could have been, you know, anything.
A balloon.
Yes, exactly. too much matter collapsing into a balloon.
Yes, exactly.
This is kind of like just the plot of fucking Interstellar.
Not actually, not at all.
I don't even remember the plot of Interstellar because
no one does. It, so. Interstellar has no plot.
Okay.
But all right, that was Relics, episode about old people and how they deal with being old. So it's kind of what it was. This is an episode about being older. But yeah, if you guys have been liking what we're doing, head on over to our YouTube channel, or maybe you're already there, and you could join the channel. That gets you early access to new episodes and also gets you ad-free versions of the episodes. And we're eventually going to add other perks and all that later. If you want to check that out, check it out. Join the channel. And also, if you guys ever want to send us an email, you can always email us at contact@newbiestartrek.com. That's contact@newbiestartrek.
Should have been first contact.
Stop that. Stop saying that.
Why do you keep bringing that up?
You fuck.
It's like 10 times.
All right. Actually, this week, I'm going to read out 2 emails. So, because otherwise, we usually wouldn't read out emails this short. So
I feel like you're lying to us.
Yeah, I feel like you wanted to say 3 and then you changed your mind.
You're suspicious about how you said that just now.
Yeah, I don't like your tone, Marvin.
The vibes are off. The vibes are off.
One of them's from Jen. It's titled, "I sleep in a racing car, do you?" And it simply goes, "Every time Dan makes a Simpsons reference, my cold little heart is filled with so much joy. They are always perfect. Batman is a scientist."
I love you.
It's funny because she also writes, XOXO, Jen. So thank you. And that's her email. And then the other one is from Lewis. And then Lewis says, "Amazing. I am loving your podcast. I miss being a newbie. I wish I could watch all the Star Treks for the first time again. I am so excited for you all to watch DS9. That is coming up very soon, Lewis. Just to let you know. It may take the next 10 years to finish all of Classic Trek, but it'll be worth every minute. I am actually excited to imagine listening to this podcast for the next decade of my life." Wow.
Hopefully we live that long.
It is a warrior. It is a warrior's destiny. Kapla. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lewis. Well, thank you for the emails.
It's
everyone.
Giving 3 question vibes.
It's giving 3 questions.
Thank you for the emails, everybody. If you like what we're doing, you can find other things we do. Head on over to fugitiveframes.com. They have all sorts of stuff we do there, including the Would You Stay in Tude podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have an episode.
And maybe some OnlyFans stuff. We don't know.
Maybe. We'll see what the future holds.
If maybe we should follow John Cena's example and just do.
I mean, you can only really have one person doing that sort of shtick.
I vote Dan.
No. Let's just everyone just do it.
That would just be stupid. And
well, let's just do it.
John Cena's on OnlyFans?
Yes.
Yes.
He's on OnlyFans.
What is he? What
go we, go join his OnlyFans and you'll see.
I guess I'll find out. Yeah. I'll do that later after this.
But next week,
trust every title.
But next week we're gonna watch Schisms.
Schisms?
Yeah, Schisms.
Hoo-ah, Schisms.
Right. Yeah, starring Al Pacino. You called it, Ricardo.
Sounds dividing.
But all right, we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Take care, y'all.
See you next time.
Hoo-ah, beam me up, Scotty.